Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and ask that as we continue to worship you, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that we would hear your still small voice. And God, we pray that your love and grace would fill our lives to overflowing, that others would know that we are your children, led by your Spirit. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Now, I don't know if you know this about me. I like to make cookies. That's probably not quite accurate. I like to make chocolate chip cookies. Every now and then I'll go out and buy some chocolate chips and whatever other ingredients I'll need to make those chocolate chip cookies. And the first two ingredients, if you're at all familiar with baking, here's my question. What are the first two ingredients you need in beginning to make chocolate chip cookies? Who said butter? Who said sugar? Okay. Sugar and butter, at least the way I make chocolate chip cookies. Yet the problem with butter is it's stored in the fridge and it's hard. And hard butter is virtually unusable. It will not easily combine with the sweetness of sugar. The butter first must be softened, often just by leaving it out, just some time, in order for it to properly take in the nectar from the sugarcane plant. And once the butter is softened, the sugar will transform the butter into something that I want it to become. For I am the creator of the chocolate chip cookie. And the Creator doesn't create junk, but wonderfully soft, sweet cookies. As we continue this series on the forgotten God, the Holy Spirit, we come to the Apostle Paul's instructions to the church at Ephesus on living the Christian life. It begins in Ephesians 4:17, and Paul says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking." Paul is saying, don't live like the Gentiles. Remember, the Gentiles were those who were non-believers in Jesus Christ. Join with me on the next screen, which tells us why we shouldn't live with them. Read that with me. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. The separation from God is due to what? Hardened hearts. Because their hearts are hard like butter just out of the fridge, they are unable to take in the sweetness of God the Holy Spirit. Now, this case is made against those who do not believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Their hearts are hard. These are the Gentiles. And only a soft heart is receptive to the Spirit of God. A soft heart. Like making a masterpiece of soft chocolate chip cookies by first softening the butter, our Creator makes a masterpiece of each one of us. Not by force, but when we offer a softened heart to God that is open to including the Holy Spirit into our lives. Paul goes on to say that these Gentiles have lost all sensitivity to God due to three things, sensuality, impropriety, and greed. Sensuality, impropriety, and greed. Sensuality, which deals with the carnal, the physical world, as opposed to the spiritual world. Impropriety, which deals with the immodest and the rudeness of people over the decency and good manners of people. And greed, which is really about the desire for more, over generosity and offering kindness to others. It is these three things which causes us to have a hardened heart toward God. Paul goes on to say to the Christians of the church that it is not the way that they were taught when they came to learn about and follow Jesus, the one who died for them and saved them from their sins. Paul goes on to say, read it with me, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The old self, deceitful desires, these drag the believer down, keeping us really chained to the world. Then the new self, the new attitudes aligned with God help us to become more like Jesus, which we are to be attaining to in this lifetime. Back in my mid-20s, when I began to become more intentional with God in my relationship, I did take off some of the old things so that I could make room for the new. Some were simple changes like reading my Bible, studying it at times, spending time with God in prayer, going to church on a regular basis, and talking with other Christians, especially as I entered into doing ministry or missions for other people. But there were also some harder changes that I needed to make. I decided to listen only to Christian music instead of what I had been listening to for years, which didn't help my mind to focus on God at all, but oftentimes to focus on my needs, my desires. I decided, because I loved playing guitar, to no longer play non-Christian music, but only Christian music on my guitar. And I even brought a notepad to church service or any other service I attended. So when I thought I was hearing God speak to me, I would write it down so that I could remember what it is that God had said. It was about this willingness to take off the old and to put on the new. Now, Paul goes on to list a dozen do's and don'ts about Christian living, and I encourage you to go through and read through those this week, maybe as your devotion, starting in verse 17 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. But Paul goes on to list these do's and don'ts, and some of them are not difficult, but they are actions that help us to create a softer heart, to help us to become more sensitive to the Spirit. And in the midst of this list, it says this in verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grieving the Holy Spirit. When I think about grief, I think about the experience of grief. I think about the loss of a loved one. A business partner who doesn't follow the plan and the business goes to pot. People who say they are friends but then don't act the part. A spouse who knows the right way and yet disregards it. A child brought up in church going their own way from God as they grow into adulthood. These are situations that will bring grief to a person's heart. Those things that can wound us, that hurt us, they can create a heavy heart, yes? But when we act in ways contrary to what God would have us behave, when we don't follow the plan, when we don't act like a friend, when we disregard what is right, when we go our own way, then we grieve the Spirit of God who resides in us. Often we don't like being pained, but when we disregard God who dwells in us, who seals us for the day of redemption, who has our very best interests in heart, then we cause God hurt. We cause God to be grieved. We think God is great, and God is, but God hurts when we choose our own way over God's way. But Paul doesn't leave us without a solution. He first tells us what our solution should be. The first part of that solution, read it with me. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Simply stated, know Jesus and seek to live and love as Jesus did for us. Follow God's example, which requires us to read what Jesus did so that we can live and love as he did, sacrificing our lives for others. And when we do serve others, we really experience true joy and true contentment in life. But God went further than that. It's not so much seeking to live as Christ on our own ability. Paul tells us to do this. Read it with me. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Recall, anyone who believes in Jesus as God, automatically God the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives. So you and I already have the dwelling Holy Spirit in us. Paul says our bodies are temples to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told the disciples that the Holy Spirit would counsel them, would guide them, would remind them of Jesus' words, and most importantly, would lead them into all truth. All truth. Not some of the truth, but all of the truth. And when the Holy Spirit came, he did just that. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to be full of the Holy Spirit for the remainder of their lives. And their lives were not only changed, but the lives of those around them were changed. Why? Because they were filled with God's Holy Spirit, who guided them, directed them, counseled them, reminded them of Jesus' words, and led them into all truth. Their hearts were soft, and they were sensitive to the Spirit's leading. They continued to live lives that were full of the Spirit. We say that we want more of God, that we want to be full of the Spirit of God, that our lives would more reflect the love of God in our families' lives, in our friends' lives, and in the lives of those we meet. That our light would shine, and that the Holy Spirit would have his way in us. But instead we fill our lives with the things of the world, and that snuffs out the Spirit in us. It quenches the Spirit's fire. It keeps us from experiencing true joy and contentment in life. You see, true joy only comes from a relationship with God, by being filled and led by the Spirit of God within each one of us. And this joy is present even in times of difficulty and trial, because it is not based on what we get from the world. It's based on what God does in our lives, what we have received from God. Friends, we need to soften our hearts each day so that we can be sensitive to the Spirit's moving within us. I saw this joy and contentment in a friend of mine whose husband decided he found another that he'd rather be with. I saw this as another friend lost her husband to leukemia, each experiencing grief, yet living in joy with contentment. Each living that way because of the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They lived through these difficulties because they allowed the Spirit to fill them each day, to give them the power to live and to love, to live sacrificial lives, even in the midst of their hurt. Friends, we must daily choose to be filled with the Spirit and not allow the world to infringe on God's space within us. We must let our lights shine. Well, we must try. To let God's light shine in our lives. That the fullness of God would help us to live lives pleasing to God. We need to say, come, Spirit, come. Soften our hearts to be more receptive to you and not allow it to be pushed away by the things of the world. You see, the water in the wick causes the light not to shine. In fact, I ask for the Holy Spirit and my light shines, yet I'm still living in the world. And the world wants to dampen me so that I won't be what God wants me to be. When you ask for the Spirit to fill you, you will be filled. You will be counseled. You will be guided. You will be strengthened and you will experience true joy. You will experience the contentment in life that God wants you to experience. Are you willing? Are you willing to pray to God to help you to soften your heart? To say, come, Spirit, come? Are you? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace and ask that your Holy Spirit would come into our lives. God, that you would refresh us, that you would draw us closer to yourself and cause us to live lives pleasing to you, to live lives full of the Spirit, that our lives would matter in this world, that our relationship would grow closer to you and not further away. Come, Spirit, come. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,